This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm reading it in.
We love America.
I like that laugh.
La, 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 la.
He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun. That was a quote from the author Elizabeth Elliot talking about a mission trip that her parents went on.
Roses are red. Our lives are intertwined. He was in the Amazon
researching spiders with my mom because she died. Wow.
Woo.
I mean, this comes out 2 weeks after we're recording this because it doesn't come out next Wednesday. Comes out the Wednesday after that.
Yeah. Well, there's a huge word of mouth campaign.
We got Madam Web fever.
Madam Web, yeah. So it's got some momentum. It's building.
Wait, did you also get a sneak A-list entourage ticket today?
Oh, yeah. I'm in there.
A friend of ours?
I'm going to see it. I can't wait. On Monday.
Oh, yeah.
You coming?
I wanted to come, but I already had plans that night.
Nar.
I had a date with, I guess I can say this. I had a date
the
with.
The devil?
I have a date with four women in the same night.
Oh, book club?
Two of them are twins. No. I'm seeing a double feature of Uptown Girls and New York Minute.
Oh, okay. Is Uptown Girls? Wait, no, that's Brittany Murphy.
It's Brittany Murphy and Dakota Fanning.
I was like, is that also an Olsen twin?
No. But it's adjacent, obviously,
it is.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
I know, book club three. Ooh.
Kevin, you're going to clean up on that double feature.
What do you mean?
That's a millennial woman, like, cream fest. Are you kidding me? What are you even doing there?
Well, tell me how I should dress. If you had to be my stylist for the night, what would you tell me to lean into?
Blue collar, okay. Rugged.
Okay. So flannel?
Let me fix an outlet for you. Yeah.
Like some flannel, maybe like a white undershirt.
These women, they are 35 to 40. They're ready to
40?
Settle down.
They
need a man of the house, you know, man of the woods.
Oh, that's not what I'm going. I'm not going for man of the woods per se.
I'm just telling you what would work.
You say millennial women. Do you think Mary-Kate and Ashley means anything to Gen Z? Do you think that Gen Z cares about the Olsen twins?
I would not dare to say
because
what Gen Z
always
cares
ask these
about.
Rhetorical questions. And
yeah.
I'm like, who do I?
Yeah,
can
I'm like,
tell me.
What does punch through? You know, like, does Spice Girls punch through? Does Britney? I don't know.
Probably I bet Britney would in a way Spice Girls doesn't. Britney is still an ongoing conversation.
Thing. Yeah. Spice Britney, Girls. For them, though, is like how I came to understand Michael Jackson, you know, was like the last half of his life.
Hmm.
And like, but there was so much that led to Michael Jackson looking like that, you know, and like being like that.
Yeah.
And so
Michael Jackson is how you got into Pepsi.
Yeah. And so for, I imagine this generation, like they're encountering Britney now, you know, and they like have an understanding of old Britney, but like not really, not in her most sparkly understanding, you know?
Yeah. No one knew the bomb that went off when that video came on our TV screens at the turn of the century. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Oh, right, exactly.
Like, you can't, how do you describe that to me? We're like, we were all watching TV. Why? Why were you watching TV?
Why were you doing that together? Yeah.
How were you doing that together? Right. Like, you TiVo'd and watched it later?
I'm not comparing Michael Jackson to Britney Spears.
No. What are some other ways they're similar?
Way.
Because they're both pop stars is what you mean,
mega
right?
Mega pop stars.
Yeah.
With some stories. History.
They have some stories. They
have experiences.
Oh, yeah. And we can't wait to talk about
I'd love to get off
their
this
parallels
train.
More. But we're here to talk about some other pop stars today who also have some stories.
Oh, yeah.
Some gospel stories. Toby Mac, Kevin Max, Michael Tate. Mac and Max, they never really did anything with that.
I know, right?
Because two Toby Max is a Max.
Back to back.
Yeah.
And Michael Tate's here.
Hi. It's DC Talk. It's Decent Christian Talk. It's their album, New Thing, from a mere 34 years ago. Fresh off the presses.
Feels new as ever.
It's basically what's so funny when you read about this album, because they would do many of these artists do and bands do from this time. You put out their whole discography is like five albums total, five or six albums. That's all they did. But they'll do endless compilations and greatest hits and best ofs and stuff. They don't put anything from this album on it or the first album on it.
Oh.
Nothing from these two makes it.
They're dead and buried to them.
It's just from Free at Last on.
Makes sense. I mean, this was such a different era for DC Talk. I don't know if our guest has heard some of their later. I mean, it is rock and freaking roll, okay? And you wouldn't maybe imagine that you're hearing New Thing. So I understand maybe why they wanted us to forget about New Thing.
Which is so funny.
But I can.
No, none of us can. And hopefully we're going to find out today if our guest can or if she wants to forget. Friends and folks, making her glorious return to the podcast. Once again, she is a comedian and writer. You can catch her on podcast, Bad Behavior. Give it up for Sterling Mowbray.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you guys so much for having me back.
Oh, hey. Always a pleasure.
What a dream and a treat.
A pleasure and a privilege.
Such.
A dream and a treat. A pleasure and a privilege. Caroline, give us two more.
Prince and a pauper.
I think it is kind of a prince and a pauper to do this show multiple times.
Which one's prince, which one's pauper? Like, is the first time? Which one's the first and what's the second?
It depends. Yeah. I think sometimes people's second appearance outshines the first, like, almost immediately.
Whoa.
Sometimes it outprinces them. Prince, another pop star, Caroline. Where's some parallels between him and Michael and Brittany?
We don't have to look into it too much.
Can I tell you my introduction to Prince?
Sure.
And then we'll get to Sterling's as well. My introduction to Prince was watching the ill-fated, short-lived variety show on ABC from 1998, Muppets Tonight. It wasn't the Muppet Show, but it was Muppets Tonight. And it was basically like an SNL format where they would have a guest host and they would participate in all the sketches. And the guest host for the episode I watched was Prince.
Oh,
and so he was the guy. And he made everyone in the crowd do what Dexter's doing right now, just howling, barking. But I remember he would participate in the sketches, and he sang one with Gonzo, where they were in a cave, and they sang, "That's the way, I like it,
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So you were a fan of Prince early on.
From early on in 1998.
Bats guy? Yeah. Do you have an early Prince memory when you became aware?
It is a good question. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. No.
You don't know him.
Are we getting a Mariah right now?
No, I obviously know who Prince is.
Mm-hmm.
And
was he died.
Because he passed.
Yeah.
But
two presidential elections ago.
I there is not a day that I can pinpoint that I said, oh, I didn't know about him until I did. He kind of was always there.
A gradual.
And there was no one in my life who was such a big Prince fan that he like had a thing for me.
Right.
I knew of him. And that was my relationship with him.
Beautiful.
Which is boring. And I'm so sorry to start well, it no, off like that. Because I literally don't think you have anything.
No, we put you on the spot. We didn't prepare you for that. You could have had some kind of anecdote.
You guys did not text your bullet, say, look up Prince and make sure you know
have something to say about
Prince.
But in
a way, that's like the way we relate to God the Father, in which we don't need, there's never a beginning. He always is, he was, he ever will be.
Of course,
he is omnipresent in our lives, the way Prince was for you until he passed away,
of course.
Sadly, in 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were devastated that day.
I was. I really was. One tear.
At that point, he'd grown.
2016, I always remember as the year that two celebrities died and everyone said, 2016 is the worst year ever. That's my memory of 2016.
Wait, was the other one?
David Bowie was the other one.
Oh,
like,
of course.
A couple months before or after.
Interesting.
And they were like, there's no way this year could get any worse.
That.
This is the summer of 2016. This year's so bad. Nothing could happen that could
at
be worse.
At least we know Hillary will do a great memorial for them at her inauguration.
I wish I could give Prince a kiss right now.
Wait, what's her Bowie joke?
There's a star man going to the pole. That would be one.
Listen,
this is a wild Hillary impression.
Well, no, I mean.
No, it's pretty good.
Oh, no,
it's
pretty
dead.
Well,
you close your eyes.
I didn't know who Hillary Clinton was until right now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm
Gen Z
sorry.
Doesn't know who Hillary Clinton
I'm not even. I'm not even Gen Z.
You're a cusper, right?
I'm like, cusp, but like, I'm technically millennial.
Okay.
I'm 94, not to
Technica. Okay. Ooh.
Break my own age on the pod, but okay. I'm 94.
I didn't realize you were so old.
No, 94. I am. I literally am so old.
Caroline, have you talked to an adult yet that was born after 9/11?
Gosh. Probably, but I don't know.
It's a narrow question I just asked you. An adult that
right,
was
an adult
born
is like
after 9/11.
Yeah, someone born like on 2002.
They're running around now.
They're 22.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're 23, at least. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not hanging out with 22 and 23-year-olds.
Well,
no, she's normal,
yeah.
Kevin.
No,
Kevin.
We're
she's
all
not a
normal.
Pervert. I'm not a fucking pervert.
I know
I'm
that
not
was your question. You didn't get her.
I don't know what you mean. I'm curiously buttoning up my cardigan.
Yeah, you
the
are.
Room,
oh, my God.
As if I have something to hide.
Really sweaty.
Like my nipples are about to start sweating out of fear and nervousness of being asked the question. But
yeah, I'm not going to like college campuses and be like, what's up?
Because it's too woke now. That's why you're not going.
Yeah, and I can't speak safely there.
No safe spaces on college campuses. Gracious. Well, Sterling, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thank you.
So much has changed since you've last been on.
But do you think?
It's been almost a full year.
So true.
Gosh, when was the last time? The last time you came on, it was to talk about the Jesus Revolution.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure was.
You remember that movie?
Ronnie Frisbee.
I will always remember that.
Lonnie. We respect
iconic.
The name of Ronnie Frisbee.
But yeah. Yeah, I guess a lot has changed.
Yeah. Such
Kelsey
as.
Kelsey Grammer has had a lot more happen since.
Well, the Frasier show came out. Yeah.
Frasier reboot.
Of course. I didn't catch it.
Wait, wasn't there... he's going to be in a Marvel movie.
He was in a Marvel movie.
He's reprising.
Movie. Yeah, he was Beast again in the new Marvels.
What? Oh, in that one?
Yeah.
God, missed that.
Yeah, I told you this on mic, I think.
You did, yeah. I guess I just heard, like, he will be in a Marvel movie, not that he already did it.
But, you know...
Is he in Madam Web? I'm the web.
It connects us all, Niles. I was less connected to you. No, I don't know. But it might be a Harry Styles situation where he just shows up and then never again.
No follow through.
Harry Styles was at the end of a movie called The Eternals about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I don't suspect we'll be seeing that character ever again at the end of it.
Yeah. Maybe in Don't Worry, Darling, too.
Yeah, I hope.
What could happen in Don't Worry, Darling, too? What could happen?
Harry Styles' character gets Don't Worry, Darlinged.
Oh. That'd
yeah,
be sick.
In a world of...
I feel like
is that just Barbie?
Women. Yeah.
I feel like that. This is what the movie would be. Okay, it's all single girls in the world in their late 20s to 30s to 40s. I'll include everyone.
Okay.
And they're like... We need husbands or something. And then they like take the few single men left and shove them into this world.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we're tired of dating apps. We're going to just put them. I don't know. And then something with AI will be there, obviously.
AI will be present.
AI will be president.
Haley Joel Osment.
And
president.
Yeah.
AI will be president.
Yeah.
President AI, we need you. I would prefer President AI right now, candidly.
And all the men would be like, perfect.
Yeah, right.
We're just
and they're gonna be like, we'd love to get married or something. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's a terrible take, but it would be a terrible movie anyway.
Yeah, so you're kind of like really into trad wife.
yeah.
Oh no. That's kind of what it's revealing.
Well, I feel like I'm trying to think with the reverse because that was kind of that
right
for women.
It was.
So I was like, what would be kind of the reverse?
Right.
Or
I don't know.
Or it'd be kind of like we're like, oh, all the men have been kind of bad. And so we are going to trap them in this world and we're going to leave them there. And we're not even going to interact
with them.
And
they're just like playing pretend out
there. Yeah, and then it's kind of like Barbie in the real world where we're just kind of like.
That would actually be a really good like war movie is like men doing the war, you know, business.
They're
going so hard on war.
Yeah, of course.
And you only find out like at the end that they are in a simulation.
Oh my God.
Enacting their most violent fantasies while women are just like enjoying the utopia outside.
That's good.
So this is basically what you're describing as a metaphor for guys playing Fortnite or Call of Duty over their landlines and whatnot.
Exactly. No, I'm talking about like real war, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a metaphor for that, right?
Because how is that a better metaphor than like real war?
Yeah, I think there is real
no,
war
No, I'm
as
saying
well.
It's...
Kevin's like, well, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and like, but yeah, it is about how men need to stop playing video
Wait
games.
Wait a minute. Wait, am I not understanding Kevin? This correctly? No, I'm saying, like...
That's it. Bring him up. Put him in it. Plug him in.
Wait. No, I hate this. Gosh. You know how long 1917 would have been if I started in it 2 minutes? Because I would have KMS'd immediately at the sight
that
of the first gun.
So funny. You see just one character dropped off, fresh off the truck. He's like, no.
Gotta go.
His uniform's still clean.
No, I'm just saying, if you were doing the analog of it's a simulation that men are in, this is often I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy.
I understand what you're saying.
I think what you're saying is, okay, can I? I'm worried what you're saying is that they're like, whoa, what? Oh, but Ben wouldn't be doing war because that's not real. They'd be doing video games. But what we're saying is, oh, there's wars right now that are real. And so.
Right.
So they think they're doing real
right,
war.
Right, so it's not only just like pretend Fortnite fighting. There's real fighting happening right now. But we'd love to put that maybe in. You guys could just maybe do that.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that premise.
No, but I think what we were saying is like, you're like, well,
but you were like
video
because
games.
It's a metaphor for video games.
And we're like, it's a metaphor for real life.
Yeah. Thank you. You know what I'm saying.
Because it's not even a metaphor, it's just real
but
life.
But video games are a metaphor for real life. I'm not a gamer,
it's
by
like
the way.
How, it's like that, but bigger than that.
Right. That's what a movie's for.
Okay.
I think we're all speaking the same language here, Gabe.
Prime candidate. Rhyme. Actually, let's give him his own simulation.
Yeah.
I feel like good.
Are we ganging up?
I don't know.
I'm sorry,
this is what's so funny, though.
I'm sorry. I always create this dynamic.
I've never experienced this before. Very new to me.
You know, I'm looking at a man right here who I don't think would enjoy a war fantasy simulation game.
I told you I would KMS.
You'd be banging on that wall to get me to the girls.
Yes. Right. So maybe it's like it's also a test. Okay, this is part of our movie. Okay.
Yeah.
It's also a test of like any man that kills himself on site
deserves
at the battle.
To live.
They're like, all right, let him out.
That's true. Interesting.
Back
he can
in.
Come be part of society now.
I'm back in, baby.
That movie's getting made. ASAP.
Wow.
It's a good idea.
It is good. It's kind of combining all the top movies of the last few years, kind of.
This movie has everything.
It's got everything. Yeah,
it's
and then
everything.
In like the in the women's world or whatever, it's like it's also fun. So we're having a good time. Beautiful.
Yeah. And Caroline, who's directing this movie?
It's going to be directed by Christopher Nolan, unfortunately.
Oh, fuck.
We need someone who knows war.
Oh no.
Is he bad or good? I can't.
Caroline doesn't like him.
Like, I mean, I just mean personality.
I don't have a. I don't think I have an opinion on him.
I just saw an interview with him, and I was like, I can't remember if you're evil or regular.
Yeah, does he have like some sort of scandal?
He's just British.
Oh, okay.
Caroline,
I don't know. It's hard to keep track.
Maybe this is an off mic conversation, but I remember you saying I don't like his vibe.
I don't like his vibe. That's true.
I don't think that's because he's British. He has a bad vibe.
You think so?
That he's casting. obviously we'd all love to be in your movie, the three of us. But I don't know, put an asterisk. But no, the way his hair is a, no offense, a little evil.
Mm. Wait, we have a similar haircut.
No, you don't. Wait a minute. Also, it's also like blonde. It's something
His is like combed back.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
He also...
It's different. He has a different look.
I don't know if you've seen pictures of young No-No, but he's a good-looking boy.
Oh, don't call him No-No. Yeah.
What? That's what us in the industry call him.
Young No-No.
No, here's the thing I like about him. Maybe I'm ascribing too much virtue to like a very basic thing, but something I like about him, because you think about these like auteurs and these people who are workaholics, he works with his wife, and his wife is like his producing partner on all his stuff.
Okay.
So that's something to me that's always like, oh, well, you clearly, some material in your relationship is working for the positive and benefit, and there's like a mutuality and respect there that makes your movies make sense.
Or you have to do everything I do. I'm so selfish.
What is this based on? What is this based on?
Wait. Okay, I have a real question for you guys.
Ooh. Yeah.
Do you... Okay, so have you been following the IO Debris, J-Lo...
Yes.
...scandal?
Yes. I mean, barely. I didn't listen to the pod, but yeah.
Major scandal.
And for those that may not know, IO Debris is a former guest of GCF who was in a few TV shows and movies.
Talks of us often.
She loves us.
Wait, it wasn't your episode.
Mm-mm.
No.
No. I literally imagined.
Although,
I was like, oh my gosh.
So we would have been.
To that one.
Yeah, I was like, pump it up. Start putting clips out.
It was our friend Lacey Mosley's podcast, Scam Goddess.
Scam Goddess.
Okay. You know what I'm remembering now, Caroline? Sorry to interrupt, but on our show, we covered the gospel artist Fred Hammond, and he had this gospel song in 3/4 time, which is the da, 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 da. And we made a joke, this sounds like the Good Nights at SNL. And then we did a bit on the show where Io said, like, thanks to Lauren, to everyone here. Back in 2019,
okay.
How funny.
Well, if we were on top of anything,
well,
I had a TikTok, that would have been a good thing to put out.
So that would have been good.
Anyway, but because she was podcasting for hours and hours. She had her own podcast.
Sure.
She's talking about, she's giving her opinion.
She did?
And then before you know it, bam, you're in the dressing room with J-Lo, apparently with tears in your eyes.
So Caroline's referring to, on a podcast of Scam Goddess, she talked, her and Lacey were talking about J-Lo's career is quote-unquote a scam. She doesn't really sing her songs, like things that are sort of common knowledge or common talking points about J-Lo's career, her singing ability.
Right.
And these comments resurfaced via TMZ. And then went a little bit viral before her episode of SNL that she hosted with J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez as a musical guest. And then she made reference to it in one of the sketches on the show.
Yes. Well, and then people were, I think, asking J-Lo, like, what do you think? And she was like, I don't know. And then I guess then she was like,
there was this profile.
She came to my dressing room with tears in her eyes and like apologized. And J-Lo was like, and I was like, don't worry about it.
Well, she squeezed
her bedazzled cup.
The quote is, she said, well, she heard it be at rehearsal and she heard me singing.
Right. And she said,
oh, that's right. Yeah. And she was like, I am so dumb. This woman is a singer.
And other people have pointed this out, but this is sort of a Trump quote or a politician quote where it's like, an American came up to me with tears in his eyes and
tears
said,
detail
Donald,
alone.
How are you going to save us from evil? Like, it's that sort of anecdote shot through.
So now knowing this can happen as you all are pursuing your various careers and ambitions, are you now starting to censor yourself and think, I may be in the room with Christopher Nolan someday? Let the record show I called him No-No. I said he was hot.
I would stand by all of that.
Exactly.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know, because then you kind of come to 1 week after. Is it this week or are they still off? And then you obviously have Shane Gillis kind of coming on. I'll come after him. Who cares? Mm. And it seems like actually what you say on a podcast maybe doesn't ultimately matter, because he is back, baby, on SNL.
That's true.
Hosting.
But that's a shame.
How?
It depends on the kind of career you want to have.
How?
Yeah.
I see this. What's he got going on? Why are they
putting
He's
a very popular stand-up. Not in this house.
But he doesn't have a special coming out.
He just had a big special on Netflix come out.
Okay.
But I thought it was a little while ago.
Well, Sterling didn't hear of it.
Neither did I. I actually did know that it was out, but it's been out for a while.
It might have been out for a while.
Anyways, your question is this. I say I'm not ever thinking about the industry listening to the podcast because obviously my podcast is really huge. Take a listen, Bad Behavior. But I do know exactly how many people listen a week, and I am confident it's not the industry.
But also, let's say someday,
yeah,
Lord willing.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Dexter is so dumb.
God willing.
He's sweet, but dumb.
Dog's supposed to have really good hearing. Okay, anyway. Let's say you're starring in a rom-com now
with
Glenn Powell.
Directed by Christopher Nolan. It's called Love Bombing.
Guy. Oh my God.
Yeah. And now you were like, I was so comfortable with who was listening then, but then
of course I talk a lot of shit about
the clip.
Glenn Powell usually.
Right.
And
now you have to come with tears in your eyes to Glenn Powell's dressing room.
Be like, yeah, that is really a good question. I feel like maybe I'm misremembering. I don't think I talk a lot of shit about celebrities. I mostly talk shit about my friends sometimes.
Okay.
Or people in my life, or even
what if they
or even dates I go on. I just started doing that.
Oh, damn.
And I'm way more scared of that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I talk about celebrities often, but maybe I'll start.
Okay, because so you're already conditioning yourself by having real life consequences personal relationships.
I do, but I haven't said, I don't think, think I've said anything.
That would be inflammatory.
But what I would do tears in my eyes. I actually can cry on command. Okay. I can.
Oh, man.
That's going to come in handy.
So
the second half of this pod.
In the rom-com. Yeah.
And in the rom-com.
It used to be like a real disturbing prank I would actually do on people all the time, like when I was a kid.
For what reason?
Well, because I was a little goof.
What would the circumstances be?
I was a little goof. I had a piano teacher and I like got a scale wrong or something, but he had been my piano teacher for years. It's not like I was like disturbing. We knew each other, but he was like, "Oh, Sterling, you did this wrong again." And then I looked away, did my little trick, and then looked back to him, tears streaming down my face. And then he was like, "Oh my God, it's okay, it's okay." And then I was like, "Ha ha ha!" Right? Because I'm psycho.
What was his reaction when you laughed at him?
You know, his reaction was he told that story for years and years and years, and he says, "I'll never stop talking about you and that story." Amazing.
So that's kind of a gift. You
made an impression.
But yeah, I used to do that, and I probably was better as a kid. But see, now as an adult, it's kind of like, don't do that. But as a kid, maybe it's kind of like a fun party trick.
Could you still do it though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Well, I don't want
halfway
it right
through
now,
the podcast. So. I'll do
yeah,
it.
Wait.
No, I can really like get out maybe like one tear at this point. I've dried up.
Squeeze
more
one
than
out.
Enough.
Wow.
What takes one to get it done?
What about you, Kevin? Who are you worried listening from the industry? Top five.
As you ascend.
As I ascend, what in particular?
Yeah. It's up to you.
Well, the thing I've always thought is that in services like this, so it exists already, but whenever someone has an app where it's very easy to almost like probably AI generate a transcription based on audio file, with a lot of ease and automate that and then just like do a word search, that's when we should all be scared about stuff.
Oh.
In the sense of like, you can give like a transcription service, like listen to this to our podcast and they can make a transcript probably in an hour or less. But when it's something that's like very easy for the run-of-the-mill person to do, that's when it's like, oh, there's people out there that have...
That's got to be already here.
But something that's like, I'm saying an app that's like very... easy and popular. Mm-hmm. It is already here in some way currently.
App.
Yeah, but something where it's like, let me put this podcast into this transcription app. And then it's like here in 30 seconds or less.
Post that. Mm-hmm. And then bam, Google search is scraping.
So that's going to be, because
that's a lot of steps though.
I guess,
but that's what I'm saying. It's like once there's even a few fewer steps, that it'll be like really easy.
Do you think because that whole episode of Scam Goddess was about J-Lo, or am I incorrect?
I don't remember if it was or not.
Okay, because I was like, if the whole episode was, I'm sure our team like was aware. Like that's a very popular podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if it was like one little sentence,
it was.
But I'd be like, I would be interested to see if her team had reached out beforehand to be like, any chance you could take this down?
Yeah.
As soon as she heard she was getting a snow with J-Lo. Because
who even fed it to TMZ in the beginning?
Well, I'm like, if I went on a podcast and the whole topic was like talks about Glenn Powell, the guy I'll be starring in a movie soon with,
right?
Would you talk? His teeth are weird. Like, what would you say?
What would I say? I actually haven't seen that movie yet. I'd love to, but it's not out on streaming.
It's fun.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I'm excited. What would I talk about him? This would be the meanest thing I could say. You look like a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But you could say that about me too. So,
average looking.
Like, you could really swap a lot of people. Like, you could get confused easily about who that was.
Yeah.
And that's not even that mean.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's an interesting conversation. Because certainly, I don't know. There's probably things I've said on podcasts from 9 or 10 years ago that I don't stand by at all.
Oh, yeah.
There's one, you know, I have one in my head right now. I'm going to tell myself.
Yeah.
I made an eating disorder joke like 10 years ago that I don't stand by at all.
Oh, yeah.
And you listen to that podcast episode every day?
Yeah, to remind myself of my shame. To remember where I came
from.
Really?
You can even remember that you made that joke 10 years ago?
I can, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've, like, maybe I should, but, like, I haven't gone back and edited it out. I'm saying that's the one I remember.
Of your own podcast?
Of my own podcast, yeah.
I didn't edit that out.
Well, yeah. It's just been a while since I've touched those files.
At night and you're listening to the episode every day.
I am listening to it every day in a way that's like, I could fix the problem by just, I'm kind of lazy. Right. I don't know.
If he took it out, then he wouldn't be able to listen to it every day.
Oh, that's right. Grow.
Yeah, because then it would be gone forever. So I don't know. No, there's, and that's what I can remember. I'm sure there's so much more that I wouldn't stand by. And that's just like general, whatever, insensitivity. That's not about a particular person. Because a lot of this conversation is with the eye of ultimate ascent, that even though most people are aiming for, it is a privileged conversation. Like the whole Tina Fey-Bowen exchange on their podcast. I'm sure you saw the clip.
I don't think so. No.
You
happened?
Didn't see this clip?
No.
So the clip.
Yeah, she was on Lost Culturistas,
yeah,
right?
Last week.
And she was excellent.
Yeah, amazing.
She was so funny in a way that like, and I've never been negative on her. But
it was surprisingly good, I think.
Yeah. She's someone that like, for as extraordinarily offline as she is, she seems to know everything that's going on.
Yeah.
In a way that was really delightful and
that's fun.
So they did an I Don't Think So, Honey. You know what? I'm not going to describe it. I'm just going to play it for you because I think it's a better distillation of what it is. Because they do this thing on the podcast called I Don't Think So, Honey, which is that the two hosts, Matt, Bowen, and whoever their guest is, say something that they don't like in culture, they don't agree with, or something going on. It could be anything of any sort. And this was Tina Fey's.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Bowen Yang giving his real opinions about movies on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I regret to inform you that you are too famous now, sir.
I know.
What's going to happen? You have a problem with Saltburn? Quiet luxury. Keep it to yourself, because what are you going to do when Emerald Fennell calls you about her next project where you play Carrie Mulligan's co-worker in the bridal section of Harrods, and then Act 3 takes a sexually violent turn and you have to pretend to be surprised by that turn? You hang out with Ariana and SpongeBob. That is your life. Okay.
Oh,
and Matt Rogers,
God.
I can tell you, you got about 1 year left. And
I
then
know.
You, yes.
Oh my
learn
God.
From my mistakes. Learn from IO. Podcasts are forever.
5 seconds.
Authenticity is dangerous and expensive. I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh my God.
So that's kind of the whole deal, right?
Wow. That took me out.
Ariana and SpongeBob. I said that was one of the boldest things she could have said.
Funny.
To call, I don't think anyone that's that famous has called him SpongeBob than online. And that's really how you know she's so online, because she called him SpongeBob.
She knows. Yeah.
She knows.
Wow. She said learn from Maya. She knows enough about Emerald Fennell. Like, she's still.
Weren't we talking about that though? Like, with them specifically, like Matt and Bowen, like, have way like their teeth, they don't have any teeth anymore when it comes to like criticism of pop culture the way they used to.
And she's saying have less teeth than you do currently.
You are too famous and you're about to be cast in these people.
Well, and they continued to talk about it in the episode. And the thing she says is like, because they talk about like, well, people come to us for our real opinions and we want to be authentic. She's like, yeah, but do you want to have your podcast forever? Or do you want to be movie stars?
Yeah.
And it's a very...
Yeah, like, do you want to get jobs?
And the thing about that question is that I honestly believe that is a legitimate question to consider for an elite few. I don't think it's most people. Because if someone said... If I say, I don't know, Caroline, I didn't like Renaissance that much. That's not true. I did like Renaissance. But if I said, like, that new Beyonce single, the country stuff, it's not for me. That doesn't threaten anything, because there's no universe in which I would ascend to a position. But this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In a way where it's like, if I shit talked someone else's podcast that was like a peer of ours that I legitimately didn't like, that would be a little more problematic, because there would be like actual consequences.
Right.
So the sphere of like the tier of what I was talking about, even in on Lacey's podcast, like J-Lo's, that would be like me talking about, like, I don't like Joe Biden. Like, that's probably what it felt like to her. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had no idea, obviously, she would ever be face-to-face.
That said,
tier to tier with J-Lo.
I don't think anyone regrets saying less or being a little more mysterious online. I don't think anyone's ever said, I wish I'd run my mouth more or given more opinions. And even in the sense of like alluding to dates you went on or friends or exes or whatever the case may be, I think people would do well for themselves to err on the side of caution, because the best case scenario of saying all that versus the worst case scenario is never worth it. I think.
Oh, of course. Of course. But I think if you like lose, I can think of my favorite podcast episodes or just like content. And it's like when the hosts are being more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, like, I think like infusing that, obviously it's like a fine line, but if you're so like, well, it won't pay off for me probably, mm-hmm. or like the like consequences are always going to be like outweigh the pros, but like, you're not going to be memorable. Like, you're not going to be a memorable host. I don't think you're like not doing your job of like being authentically you.
Yeah.
I think I'm like so buttoned up, but I try to be like a teeny bit myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I don't think like you know, can like, even like ascend at this point unless you are like giving like, them something, or you can't just be diplomatic all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you're like literally my life,
and then you ascend to the peak that I like is when people are
like crying a little bit and they're like, I've been so sad and all these things have happened to me. It's not the weeks they're like, well, I bucked this and I had this or whatever. It's like the times they were like, share a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
But that also depends on what is the actual job of a person making stuff like that, in the sense of, because that's kind of new. I mean, not to have a boring conversation, that's annoying. But it's like, but the idea
the
of like,
meta.
you do need to talk about stuff that's happened to you. That's kind of new, that is a requirement for your career path, even in something as like an artistic endeavor or something like that. Even if it was just stand up or it's just writing, that's like, oh yeah, if you're an essayist, if you're Joan Didion, yeah, I guess you talk about XYZ, or like, or you're Roxane Gay or someone who writes, the job is to write personally about your personal life. But in every other facet of it, and even the way comedians are now, that sort of vulnerability of like, I'm going to tell you about a date I went on, and it's real. And it's like the whole John Mulaney sort of interrogation of that is less special of like, this is all the stuff I'm willing to tell you about.
Yeah.
That's, I do think it's an odd pressure that maybe doesn't need to be so. There can be some remove while still maintaining what you're talking about, the authenticity and the vulnerability that is required to make a connection with an audience.
Yeah.
And to have trust. But I don't think the embedded requirement of that is over disclosure.
Totally.
If that makes sense.
I think so. Yes. I think it's for like the longevity of like an audience and knowing the audience knowing you.
Yeah.
I guess.
And I'm saying this as like someone who's done it. And, yeah. And I reflect back and I'm like, oh, not even like I felt so much pressure to do this, or I just felt like it was a way to court it in a sense, if that makes sense. Like it if I share more, then that'll engender loyalty. Mm. And that's, I think, a self-perpetuating cycle.
Yeah.
In a way that people will respond to what you give them and learn how to have the relationship based on that. It doesn't have to be like, yeah, but you really need to tell, you know, and it's like the thing with that we demand or require, or even the Beyonce thing is a good example of like, she's writing country songs in a vernacular where it's like, she's talking about having 9-to-5 jobs or going to the dive bar. It's like, this is not auto-fictional. This is not having to do with her life, but that's also not her job. Her job is to make music, right? Do you disagree?
Yeah.
What?
No.
Oh.
But I feel like making music and doing comedy are like slightly different, unless the medium of the comedy is like a movie or a TV show. That's like, but I think if you're doing like stand up or even like something that you are quote unquote yourself, which obviously is like a version of whatever, but I think it's like so hard to kind of not then infuse some elements of who you are, you know, like other than just like your person, like, oh, I'm quirky or I'm upbeat or whatever, like not talk. Cause I think it's like, people come to you for even say like outside of your life, a take or like whatever, like these boys. And so but your takes are all based on like your experiences. Mm-hmm. So if you're like not willing to share any of them, but I'm also the most buttoned up person ever. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to say the teeniest thing. And I think it like literally is nothing. And it never is. I think I'm trying to push myself to be a little bit more open, yeah. but because I'm like actually in the other corner that I'm like, my parents worked for the government and they were like, never say a thing about yourself online. So I'm so mm-hmm. buttoned up that I'm like, I'm just trying to be like a little teeny bit less. But for me, that's probably also the most buttoned up person ever.
yeah.
But I know what you're saying. There's a sense of you don't want to be withholding about identity or voice or personality. And I guess there's almost like a good way to think about of like demarcating that from information.
Totally. Yes. Where it's
like,
yes.
Like, yes, be generous and be, you can be like brave almost and like yeah. vulnerable and candid in those ways. That doesn't also require it to be partnered up with like, you know, just the difference between yeah. what's private versus not.
Yes.
You
know? No, of course.
And having something to protect.
Yes. No, I'm all for not saying a thing.
Like if this was a podcast where it's just like we listened and watched everything, we're like, yeah, I guess it's good. I don't know. 5-star and... That's not really what I'm getting. It's more just like everything that it takes, and especially when it comes to like people that may or may not be in your life or can be in your life in the future, as is the case in the most rare times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a scary balance.
It's such a shortcut to getting, an audience or getting a loyal audience to like be intimate with people who don't deserve it, you know? And
so
then
true, yeah.
you'd like, and we see this play out even in like the reality TV cycle all the time mm-hmm. where like someone goes on, they bare their ass. We love them for it. We've praised them for it. We're like, thank you. I love it. Give me more ass, please.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, my ass is getting kicked. And like, or now you found out other things, or now you feel like you are owed every secret of my life.
Yeah.
In perpetuity, because that's how you came to know me. And then they have to like push people back after that. And then they're irrelevant. And then no one wants you anymore. Yeah. Cause it's like, well, then I don't come to you for your entertaining, you know, academic opinion. I came to you because I want the mess of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and it's a terrible cycle.
Yeah.
It's a trade off.
It's just hard to know who your audience is. Like, I think sometimes when you are like trying to be like a little more revealing about yourself, in my head I'm like, oh well, it's like for my girls, you know,
right.
But then sometimes the girls aren't listening and it's somebody else.
It's all the boys.
So scary actually. Something that happened to me actually just 1 week ago is the men online came for me in a way that I haven't been bullied so hard in my life. Not like really, but like I haven't had so much like hate online before. And that's why I'm here tonight.
Oh yeah to heal.
Yeah. So now I'm like always like, oh, like I'm always like scared of a certain section listening or like watching and being like, and I'm like, oh no, that like you have to be a little bit like careful, because I mean I was careful, but you never know like who it's gonna reach.
Yeah,
it can reach people who are not appreciating your vulnerability.
Not your intended audience. So.
No, yeah, and have no like closeness to your mindset at all. And
yeah,
just like the worst faith argument on it. Yeah, I want to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah, which is like kind of the built-in cost of doing business. But
so true.
I feel like doing this show, like we have built trust with our audience to a degree. Like we share things
or destroyed it.
But also no, both ways. Like also I trust our audience to not be weird to us as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like demand things of us that they don't have a right to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
Yeah.
So
like you don't have the right to remain silent by Phillips Craig and D.
So whatever we share on here, I usually feel like, oh, this isn't going to like come back to bite me later with our audience, or I'm not going to get flooded in the comments with like weird stuff or like a position I can't deal with or something.
Availing yourself, I think, of the 2020s concern of caveating everything to fuck of like, and I know this doesn't represent everything, and I know there's other people that might disagree, and I know this comes from a place of just understanding like if someone does trust you as an individual, that those things are understood implicitly.
Yeah.
And if there's harm in the implication, then being open to correction to that, but not feeling the preemptive defensiveness of having to cloak it in this like thick veneer of, but you understand I'm actually a good guy and I'm on your side for XYZ.
Yeah, what's for that? Sure. That's another element of it. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know who made art bravely and vulnerably is...
Bared their souls.
Bared their 2 white and 1 black soul. Decent Christian talk. And we're going to talk about them after we take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Yes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Were you ever experiencing Christian music growing up, any sort of religious exposure. Did we talk about this on last episode as well? Okay.
We did on my
Jesus Revolution.
My popper episode.
You're Ronnie Frisbee.
Yeah.
Because this is the Prince episode.
This is my Prince episode.
We had a wonderful first act, and the second act is going to be even better.
We did. We did talk about my religious upbringing. I'm offended
that you
don't remember.
But no, but the music in particular.
Oh, the music?
Yeah.
I can't recall. I'm so sorry. I can't recall if we talked about it. I can recall if I
No, that's fine.
Can you imagine? Yeah. memory loss. But I guess other than going to church, but we didn't ever listen to that music in our home. Mm.
Yeah.
So it was like hymns.
Or hers.
Yeah. I would literally, or you thems. Looked at me for a second and I said,
is it
hymns? I was like, I said this word wrong. How do you, is it hymns? How do you say it?
Hymns.
It's hymns.
Did you really pronounce that M?
Yeah, hymns.
Okay, I'm embarrassed.
But you weren't touching this rock and roll kind of stuff. This kind of
cool
stuff.
I was definitely not touching.
Yeah, this cool as fuck shit.
Mm-hmm. I guess I went hard. To choir camp for a summer, so go. I must have been singing something, but mm-hmm. I think they were hymns again.
Yeah.
But I was never deviating from just kind of the tried and true that was in the big book. So I wasn't doing anything rock and roll like this. Mm-hmm. This was a journey I have never heard
this
of.
This was shocking for you.
It was shocking. Yes. And I actually did listen to this in my own home with my roommate who had to walk by and say, what are you listening to? Oh. And I had to say, I put my Spotify on private to listen. I was actually so scared. I was like, because I was like, ugh, is every playlist going to be like, you loved this album? You listened to the whole thing, girl. And it's going to only give me this kind of music now.
Wait, does going Spotify private,
is that not what that does?
I think that's
no,
not
that
it
just
does.
Hides it from your homies.
It just hides it from like the feed.
Wait,
you thought you were hiding it from Spotify himself.
Wait,
yeah, Mr. Spotify sees all.
I think there's a button you can press. There's a button you can press.
That's like you can say
I'm going incognito, like don't put this in my Spotify Wrapped.
That would be
for when
so
you're jacking off
helpful.
To Spotify.
No,
you go Spotify incognito.
I really
like don't so, F up my algorithm.
Wait,
I'm doing
heck?
This for other
I thought
reasons.
I thought I had a private session.
So they are called private sessions, I believe.
Wait.
So start a private session.
I'm so confused.
Okay, so let's look this up. Temporarily hide your activity from your followers. Private sessions will automatically end after 6 hours or when you restart Spotify. I think it still affects the algorithm.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate to say.
I'm so sorry.
This album's going to be my number one at this point.
Your
only in February.
Is about to get hit.
What is your number one this year so far? If you had to take a guess at what you've been listening to a lot.
Okay, well, in the last week, I've been listening to a lot of new music.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of before that, I couldn't tell you. I've been, I don't know. I know it's kind of basic. I listened to a lot of Noah Kahan. Okay.
People love Noah Kahan.
I've been listening to a lot of the Maggie Rogers new song, mm-hmm. loving it. Obviously, huge Casey Musgraves fan, loving that new song.
On the new train, the Musgraves train?
Yes.
Okay.
And my Saturn hasn't returned, breaking news. So I love to kind of see, my Saturn's returning.
Okay.
It's rough times.
I thought it was
times.
When you're like 27, right?
Starting.
Mine, at 27.
It started last March for me. I'm going till next year. So it's a bumpy ride. So I like to see, she seems at peace. And
right.
I like to look forward and say that could
keep
be
keep that
soon.
Going. Like,
that could
we'll
be
land
me,
here.
But it's, I still got a year to go.
Yeah. You know what? She did get divorced, but she kept the house and she redecorated it.
That's good.
That they were in.
I saw her husband in concert last year. I mean, he was opening. I didn't have
accident.
I didn't have a choice.
You
I didn't
support.
Have a choice. And then that girl followed her in footsteps, aka Maren Morris, divorced as well. And she had a gorgeous, it seemed like she had a gorgeous marriage on stage at that concert. But
you know, there was another country divorce that bummed me out recently. Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires.
I've never heard of these people.
And you've heard the name Jason Isbell.
Okay. Also, Caroline, you're the one who, sorry to put you on blast, but on this podcast,
what?
We said Clint Black, Travis Tritt, the Judds. And you were like, these are made up. Who's tit fuck? We were reading old Super Bowl halftime show performers, and they are country.
And apparently they're like country all-stars.
Yeah, they're not like the run,
sorry,
the backwash of CC. Of
just kind of the backwash of pop culture. yeah, I did see that comment. I was like, oh. Because we were talking, it was, to put it in context, we were talking about other performers like Elvis Presto. And like, I think there was like a monster truck rally or whatever. We were talking about all Carol these Channing. Nobodies there was were a bunch, doing halftime shows.
There was a period before there was a significant corporate glow up of the halftime show. And that's when you get Rolling Stones and Caroline's aforementioned Britney Spears into the mix and whatnot.
And Clint Tit was like in that era. So I'm sorry, I don't know him.
You know, you do know Jason Isbell if you know the song "Maybe It's Time to Let the Old Ways Die" by Jackson Maine, because he wrote that song.
Oh, he
maybe
was
it's
his
time to let the old
country ghostwriter. I thought it was Willie Nelson's son who was writing
Silly Nelson.
A lot of that. Yeah.
Wait, is this a good drag name, Silly Nelson?
I don't think you understand what drag names are supposed to be.
I don't know about that one.
That would be like if they were like a drag
Silly
clown.
I love weed and honking Silly my Nelson. Nose. I'm Silly Nelson. No, he's not just a good. He's a star in his own right. Mm-hmm. But he you know what? He did that song that Greg Hess played for us and Holly Laurent when they did our Valentine's Day show like 6 years ago. That made you cry on air. That I'm forgetting about.
Oh. Tear streaming?
It's like something about...
Tears in my ass.
Tears in your eyes or tear streaming?
Apologizing. Good question.
And it's called If We Were Vampires by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit.
Oh, okay.
And it's about like love enduring. Aww. And you cried
and
on air. I have this memory of it.
Aww.
A long time ago.
Oh, Caroline.
So in fact, you love Jason Isbell.
I guess so.
And guess what? There's more Jason go around. He's starring in Killers of the Flower Moon, streaming on Apple TV+. So you can sit your tushy down.
Jason Isbell is in Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yeah, and he's excellent in it. He plays one of the...
Isbell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm looking him up so I can see his face. Mm-hmm. So then I now am like, I know this man.
Yeah. You don't need to say sorry to this man.
When
you can
they
say.
Come for me, when I meet him at SNL, I can be like, I
know this man.
Support you. Gosh, I gotta say, Google Images having a hard time showing just his face.
Showing his pants or
something like far away. Okay. They're not giving me a good reason to like really. Okay. So Amanda Shires, is she also a country star?
Yes. She's excellent. She's in a quartet, a super group called the High Women with Maren Morris and a bunch of the others as well.
That's right. The High Women. Wow. I bet that's rocking the whole country world.
I know a lot of divorce.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Which is kind of on brand for the genre of country. There's
heartbreak.
A lot of...
Yeah. Gosh, is there anything better than a divorce album?
Oh, I'm telling you. Bruce Springsteen's Tunnel of Love. Great divorce album. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why country ages well, because they're always talking about adult problems in a way that oftentimes pop and rock is like, let's have fun and get fucked up. Mm. And country songs are like, I can't make my mortgage.
I signed the papers today.
I signed the papers today. It's a lot of paperwork songs.
But do you really think like a divorce album is good versus just like a really good breakup album? Because, okay.
Saying divorce particularly?
I actually don't know. Because I think by the time maybe you're getting divorced, you're less heartbroken than a breakup. I haven't been divorced, so maybe I don't know. But because, like, let's take it back to Coldplay. I'm sorry. Let's
take it back there.
I listened to that divorce album.
Sure.
It was sad.
Which one was their divorce album?
Ghost Stories.
Oh, that's their divorce album?
I think so. Yeah. I could be so wrong, but I remember listening to it in college, and I was like, this is sad.
So
now, if this is what divorce is, it's sad. But it didn't hit me in a way that, like, most like a good break. It didn't. I said I don't know. I think there's better just regular breakup albums than a divorce album.
That's fair. Yeah, so, I think it falls under breakup umbrella and breakup.
I think they've done too
supreme.
Much therapy to have those raw.
Yeah,
emotions.
They're like a little. They're a little more like okay. You know, I see both sides of it.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. They're both sides. I want raw emotion.
Yeah, and I want fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. Yeah. I mean, oftentimes the divorce album is called like this is the album they made right before they got divorced. So like Springsteen's Tunnel of Love.
Oh, I'm thinking it's like
it was a marriage album.
Oh.
And then he got divorced like a year later when he cheated on his wife.
And he was sad about that?
Yeah.
he was sad about himself cheating?
No, I mean, no, listen. The chronology is...
Wait, what?
By
myself.
Yeah.
No, the album is him kind of chronicling his marriage in these auto-fictional and distant ways in third person.
Mm.
And then it kind of makes sense later when it's like, oh, yes, the marriage was falling apart. And it becomes public knowledge. Because Kacey Musgraves' divorce album, most people don't like, right?
star-crossed. I was listening to it the other day. It's good.
It is. There's some good songs. It's definitely
as good as Golden Hour.
Sad.
Yeah.
There's. I think it's almost a little too sad, I'll be honest.
That can be the problem with the divorce album. Yeah. Sometimes it's just too sad, and we need a little more pep.
She has this one song that's just like, that's just like, we should stay together because imagine being single. There's nothing worse than that. And it's one of the saddest things you could listen to.
But I think that's why a divorce album, maybe as I grow older, I appreciate it more, because it's like there's so much more lore with a married couple. And also if she's already famous, it's a public relationship, you know, and all of this stuff. And like people have all this investment. And so like the pain is like deeper. It's not like, oh, I found you were texting someone else like after we were dating for 3 months or something. Right. You know, it's like we built the home together.
Are you, are you like very succinctly right now kind of articulating a lot of Taylor's appeal in that, in a way, even though she's never been married, she's sort of making a divorce album every couple of albums because of the like the parasocial thing of, oh, we understand what this could kind of be about.
As she's gotten older too, and her relationships got longer, you know?
And when the Dead Poets Society has like Farewell London and Fuck You or whatever the song's called, everyone's like, well, that's about
We're excited.
Definitely. I feel like that one will be a divorce album. Because they could have had a, what's it called when you live together so long?
Like a common law.
Maybe they were common law. I don't know how that works in the UK, but maybe they were common law there.
Could be.
They call it common law.
You're common law with your London boy.
I feel like what's hard is sometimes like Kacey Musgraves made that really good album, Golden Hour.
Golden Hour is really good.
And then it was good.
And it's kind of, it's a little better.
It's sad that the second one kind of post-husband was worse. Oh no, what if I go on tour with Kacey Musgraves and this is my downfall?
Me talking about it.
But it was really good and I loved every single
minute. She's not going to come on Bad Behavior now. She's not going
to. She's our number one guest we've been trying to get.
I know. Damn it. There it goes.
Yeah, but I love a breakup album. So I'm excited for Taylor's, but I say this.
Don't be too sad.
Or also maybe we could have taken a little break.
I mean, rumors probably the gold standard of this for all the mess going on in that in that band. But you know what's not a breakup album is New Thing.
So true.
By DC Talk. Released in 1990, the boys of Decent Christian Talk. Toby Mac, Michael Tate, Kevin Max.
I was just born. Kevin was one. Sterling, you were negative four.
Yeah, I was really, really
you were
young.
Negative four. You were holy
shit. Just was an egg.
Do you think you were somewhere and like somehow, you know, wherever you were existing in whatever dimension, you still kind of heard New Thing?
I'm sure of that. Especially with the kind of music that was in my home. I think for sure.
Yeah.
I think my mom was just
turning. It came through her DNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is definitely the kind of album my mom would have listened to.
This is the sound of Sterling being passed through the birth canal. Push! Push!
No, this is like, should we have another, should we have a kid? Maybe in a few years. Yeah. And then.
Cut to?
Yeah.
Well, I think this is more like, well, should I have a kid? And then the song says, actually, you must.
We'll get to that.
There's no question mark.
You must. Yeah.
Sterling's parents are doing a new thing. Wow.
Oh, DC no. Talk. I wasn't born until 4 years later, so I was definitely not in the birth canal, Kevin.
Well, maybe they were, you know. Maybe they were listening to some oldies.
Was coming down and
they
then
were like revisiting.
Up.
They were like,
they were jamming too hard. The egg kind of came down and then the song paused. I was like, now's not my time. I want to be a little bit younger.
Down. They were jamming too hard and the egg came down.
The egg came down the fallopian tube and it's like, what?
And just to recap it for Sterling, this is a group of young men that met on the campus of Liberty University, one of the premier.
Oh, I know that.
Fall most families, beautiful place.
In America.
Amusement park of Christianity.
Toby
and education.
Mac, the white rapper. Michael Tate, the soulful, pristine voice. And Kevin Max, the kind of weirdo. Kind of the David Bowie of the group, if you think about it. He certainly wanted that via his vibrato.
Yeah.
Sort of the one who's singing the most powerful hooks, in a way. And really putting his voice into it, depending on the song. And they're a band who, as of this album, Caroline, we've covered every single album they've made. Except for Jesus Freak.
We've
not covered them full. But we've covered DC Talk, Supernatural, Free at Last.
Yeah.
And now New Thing.
We've talked about songs from New Thing.
We've talked about literally the song New Thing. That was the beginning of our podcast last year, at the beginning of 2013. We talked about a song called I Love Rap Music.
And some sort of play.
With our friend Dave Tooney.
Common ground. You know the deaf hip hop sound. Hype the bass with the tiny snare.
Hype the bass.
The subwoofer makes your neighbor stare. But still, I love.
Rippity rap.
Now rap started as a voice of the street. Sort of politics.
It's such a sweet chorus for a rap song.
Oh, it's like honey. It's sweet like honey. It goes down real smooth.
Yeah.
And it does make you wonder, because it's hard to contextualize it, you know, almost four decades later. Is this to 1990s hip hop what Hamilton was to 2016 hip hop, 2015 hip hop, where it's like, well, this genre exists. This will be the palatable version of it that all sorts of audiences can get into as a sort of like easy bridge or gateway, where it's still technically the genre, even if it doesn't perhaps represent the best of the genre in a lot of ways.
Hamilton was like the gateway to rap for people in 2016.
I swear to God, there's people who like saw Hamilton as the first time they had engaged with rap as like a legitimate art form. You know what I mean? Like, people, I don't know, Broadway people or an older crowd or set of, I don't know, all those people. Mm-hmm. That Mike Pence, you know, Mike Pence saw Hamilton.
Mike Pence had probably never heard rap before.
Probably Hamilton. Not.
Sure.
That's true.
He was too busy cranking Adventures in Aussie for the squad in the car. One of his favorite shows. So yes, this is them in the formation of, they are a rap rock trio combining all these different genres. This is more them and their rap, like more of the hip hop, more of the MC Hammer style influences of turn of the decade, 80s into 90s. And the thematics on this album in particular are very broad in most of the songs. It's like, hey, take it to God. Hey, I love rap music, like very general sort of sentiments. And then sometimes they're a little more specific.
They'll hit you with a topic.
I sure will.
A topic like, say, racism being bad, Caroline. Or in the case of a song called Children Can Live, parentheses without it, abortion, Sterling.
Yeah,
they'll favorite. Hit you with abortion.
On New Thing.
Or, yes, I mean, on New Thing, they'll talk about, aren't you doing a new thing? The Children Can Live Without It. It does feature the line, one day, you know what? Let me just play one of my favorite couplets on the album. And I do have a few.
I want to recognize intent of our forefathers when they wrote precisely what they meant. Taking on the form of Christian, but the power is denied. In God we trust only when we lust for the apple of our eye. One nation under God with morals out of proportion. An end result is murder under legalized abortion.
Children can live without.
And there's Michael.
Who's gonna take it away?
Sterling, the gentleman singing right now is a man I saw in concert at Carnegie Hall 2 months ago in New York City. He was playing a concert show, a Christmas show with Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith.
Mm.
And he was some of the featured talent. And boy, did he sing. He did not sing this song.
Roaming around the stage.
Can you imagine? He's like, thanks, Amy, for rocking around the Christmas tree.
And the encore.
Children. But he sings it a cappella and only the chorus.
It's his parts. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting one for me.
Yeah, did you see this coming?
Did I see this coming?
Yeah.
Well, there was already a song that was kind of crazier, I think, on the I won't say what, but like that came before this that I think I was kind of disturbed by, that set me up. And I said, by that point when I was listening to the album, I said, I'm prepared. And also
happened.
I had a spoiler alert that Kevin texted me, have you gotten to this song? And I said, sure haven't. Then that's when I pulled up the Spotify lyrics because I said, I think I'm not hearing all the words.
Children.
But yeah, this one, I don't know. I was like, I think they should kind of rewrite that main lyric. Children can live without it. It's like, well,
it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, it's kind of like it should be more like, well, children could live
Right.
I don't know. Period. Could live without.
Yeah,
I
was like,
I thought it's double.
Yeah, I was confused by that.
Yeah,
too.
It's a little. I think like, can live without hone what? Their message. They should be a little more precise.
It's like you said, can you live without bread? I'm like, yeah, I could live without bread. But that's not what you mean to say. Right. It's like,
yeah.
Kevin, if I take bread away, could you live? No, like the intent, right. It's on the razor's edge of almost wordplay. Yeah. And I do wonder if that was part of the intent of it. I'm not sure, which is excellent songwriting when you're not sure what the intention
what the intention, right. Yeah.
Especially for something as didactic. A miracle of God now looked upon as a choice. It's time for all his children to unify a voice. And you do love when choice and voice are rhymed about in any song about, reproductive rights in this fashion. So they do get specific about this stuff. Even though the production-wise, this is from genius.com, even though production-wise, the song is basic, going back to the standard formula of Toby rapping on the verses and Tate and Max singing on the choruses. The topical issues are explored in great detail, greater than on other songs like New Thing. It's like, yeah, I guess it is explored better than doing a new thing is explored a new thing.
True.
That is true. But something that, again, they never really performed these or paid mention or homage to them after this album comes out. I think I get the sense that they're embarrassed of their first two albums, especially because like so much of the creative driver of the band is Toby. And basically, especially on these albums, Tate and Max are his hook boys. It's like, I'm rippity rap and God is good.
That's probably a big reason why they stopped performing it too. Cause they were like, we don't want to be your backup bitches anymore, Toby. Like we are DC Talk.
Is it called Toby Mac and the Backup Bitches? Or is it called DC Talk, bro? You gotta choose. Sterling, what was the song that you thought was even crazier that came before?
Well, I guess it wasn't crazier. It just had specific lyrics. And I said, oh boy, I would say Talk It Out. I said, oh boy.
Say, kids, what time is it?
Which starts with a little sample of some sort of children's television show. This is definitely the most after-school specially.
Yeah.
Of the songs. And you do get a clear sense of, what their intended demographic and aim for this album is.
In a family, you say parents don't understand. Yo, that's ill. I know they can't, but you're cannot read, and communication is the key. See, this structure is under attack, Jack, and all see it from white to black. We got problems like never before that won't fade by locking your door or running away. So hear what I say, yo, talk is the only way.
It's like, talk it out. Okay, but how do you mean? And they're just like, very, hey, you know what? Mom and Dad are going to know. Go home to Mom and Dad. They'll have some of the answers. That's the way we got to do it. One voice, one unit, a Christian theme. Add it all together to build the team.
Yeah, the structure under attack. So strange. It's like, you guys can't, they're talking about two different things here. They're talking about the nuclear family of America being destroyed by something. And then they're talking about parents, you need to talk to your children about unaliving themselves.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Is that, am I getting that right?
Well, they do say verbal interaction is atop the list, the only antidote to slashing a wrist, which is very extreme.
I actually wrote down the slashing the wrist. That's okay. When I said,
oh, this is what we're talking.
Talk it out.
Yeah, and they're like, just talk it out. And I said, wow.
Whoa.
They were specific with that one.
That's good. Hopefully you should be able to talk to your parents about it. But also, I don't think the parents are listening to this song.
No.
This is not a parent-geared sound.
Or was it their Hamilton, Caroline? We don't know. But probably not.
It could be, yeah. This is the entry point for a lot of parents. They're like, oh my God, I need to be communicating with my child.
I'm going to listen to hip hop. But you do get the sense, especially from this song and then another song near the beginning of the album, the second track, He Works, which is this is an album, and this is not pejorative, But it's an album for children. Let me skip to the second verse of this. It's time to get high. I thought for a second, didn't utter a word. Looked him in the eye, said, haven't you heard about a change in my life? Right. Now I'm free. Christ took time on a brother like me. I turned, took a step as I walked away. I just smiled. He couldn't help but say he works. On my wall. He's moving. And I know he works. Okay, work. Oh my gosh. It is the sound. To me, it is the sound of good intention.
They have them trying their best.
I understand that you want the best for whoever's listening to this song.
Yeah.
You want us to thrive. You want us to be good. You want us to talk to mom and dad. You don't want us to get high. You want us to have a little bit of confidence and swing in our step as we walk down the hallways of our high school. Or the highways of our high school, either way. But it is something that I don't mean to be condescending or snarky about it. This is an incredibly cute hip hop album.
So cute.
Cause they are a zoobity bop, a scoobity doo, a rippity bap, a poopity. Oh yeah. Like it is that throughout. They are not iterating on the form. They're not progressing it at all. And because of the very primary sort of primal emotions associated with each of the songs, it's sort of a young, like a 12-year-old boy's Christian rap album in a lot of ways for all these reasons.
Yeah, with like, we need to give a message, but very dorky, very mm-hmm. still very yeah. like, yeah, this would be played at school.
How old were they when they made this?
Oh gosh, well, this came out in 1990, so let's do the math. How old would they have been? Toby Mac was born in 64, so he's in his 20s. 74, 84. Yeah, so he's in his late
20s. 26?
Okay. Yeah, 26.
Wow. Is that older or old? That's a little older than I thought he would be.
That is a little...
Michael Tate is 24. Okay. And...
they were a little out of college at this point.
And Kevin Max is 23.
I actually thought they were older, so this is actually good for me.
To me, I was like, these are 45-year-old men singing, maybe.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't know. I also think for some reason, because I'm like so not accustomed to this music randomly, mm-hmm. not my top five, I think the way
we'll be now, all thanks to Mr. Spotify.
The way they're singing, I really can't get out of my head that it just sounds like a Justin Timberlake SNL sketch. Like, it sounds
yeah,
it does. A Lonely Weekend, Justin Timberlake specifically.
Uh-huh. Lonely Weekend.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
is that
or
not what
like
called?
Break It On Down, wait, wait, the Hill, the or whatever.
Wait, the Lonely
Island. Lonely Island.
I think you've been having a lonely weekend. No. And I've led over when you're talking.
The Lonely Update.
Oh, no. Yeah, like it sounds like one of their songs.
It does, yeah.
But maybe that's how they all when were mean, sounding like then, Fallon. But I just don't know if that's actually how everything sounded then. But to me, it really, I'm like, well, no, Justin Timberlake's on this album.
Well, no, that 1,000% makes sense, because I feel like Lonely Island is for sure influenced by Beastie Boys, who were huge when this comes out. So that's, yeah, that's all part and parcel. So that's dead on to what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, you're picking it up.
Oh, good.
I also feel like it makes sense. They were, you know, 26, 24 or so. So they had just exited the bubble of Liberty University's campus, where I'm sure every day on campus they were told, outside these gates, it's bedlam, it's mayhem, it's disgusting. You're going to find just just bodies in the street, all of them babies. You know, it's going to be crazy. So make sure you come out, and you come out strong with a point of view. And they're going to come for you. So and people also need to hear this from you, Toby Mac. They're not gonna be able to hear it otherwise, and so it makes sense in some ways. They were fresh out of college, that they were like, we gotta hit on the head.
Yeah.
And racism, abortion,
and
teen suicide, what else was there,
and new things, Caroline.
New things,
literally new things.
Rap music, defend it,
and
you know,
loving it.
So they go for it. You know, there's a boldness.
They feel each other out and they go for it.
What does DC stand for?
Decent Christian. It's decent Christian talk.
Oh. Yeah, baby.
Mm. See, as a girl from Washington, D.C., I said, maybe they're talking about my hometown. Decent Christian.
Decent Christian. Well, no, you're right, though, because the Washington, D.C. is Washington, Decent Christian.
Yes.
That's what the forefathers named it.
That is.
After. They call this D.C. Talks because Washington, D.C. listens.
Yeah, they're trying to get some policy made, so.
Yeah. Let's talk to these guys.
They were talking about their four founders.
They do love the founders.
Oh,
the
God. We read an interview a couple weeks ago of them in CCM Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Where Toby Mac said it was the equivalent, Caroline pointed this out, that of Justin Bieber saying, Anne Frank would have been a believer. And I believe Toby Mac said, yeah, the forefathers would have loved Christian rap, we think.
Yeah.
They would have been into it.
The one he referenced was Abe Lincoln. Like, I don't think he's technically a forefather.
No.
Give way later.
This song, Walls. Man against man just ain't the plan. It's time for God's people to take a stand. I mean, brother to brother, black to white. Stand up to the problem and begin to fight. Not against each other, to wasting time. Yo, I'm referring to a battle of minds. Not through debate or writing on the walls. This kind of action is delaying the cause. An eye for an eye, fight fire with fire. It's our turn to take it one step higher. Gotta live by example, show brotherly love. Work together on earth, we'll be together above. So we're tearing down the wall. Come on! Look, segregation. Unfortunately, I love their choruses. I think they're genuinely catchy, and obviously they're extraordinarily talented singers. To label churches by color ain't nothing but wrong. We're in the same crew. We're singing one song. And you do admire the heart behind the idea of integration, racial reconciliation. You can also imagine a black church being like, we're good.
You ain't talking about.
Hey, we appreciate it. We're fine. Y'all can do your thing. We'll do ours.
Thank you. Thank you, DC Talk.
Keep fighting the good fight out there, kids.
In your worlds. Spreading the message.
It also features my favorite lyric on the album. So whether black sheep, white sheep, or even squirrel,
God watches over all the sheep of the world. So- oh.
Did he say swirl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he said swirl.
Cool. Okay. I always like they're they have a few like songs about racism. Actually, this is not the first time they've done this.
No.
And it's always a little clunky, but I always like have an affection that they tried, you know, at a time when no one in CCM would talk about this or care about it at all.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the thing. You have to give partial credit.
Especially
on the curve.
Liberty University graduate. Like it's surprising in some level. And you know, so I try to give them a smidge more credit than it sounds like they should get. Mm.
And again, like I'm saying, I wonder if this was the Hamilton of 1990s hip hop. I do wonder if it was actually sort of shocking to have in 1990 for CCM an integrated band. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah.
It, even just a little bit in that way, in the form of Michael Tate being in the band as well. And again, whether black sheep, white sheep, or even a swirl, God watches over all the sheep of the world.
The fact that they're doing this whole song and Michael Tate isn't even the one like singing the chorus, it's just like, yeah, you know, it's a work to do. They got there.
The other thing I wanted to point out, No More. No More, this is track 4 on the album.
This is Michael Tate here. A human war, but you cannot have faith. That's Toby Mac, the rapper. And this is Kevin Max, the kind of the sex god of the
Kevin
band.
Kevin Sex.
Should
that
visual,
be my drag name, Caroline? Kevin Sex?
That's closer to a drag name.
Okay. Kevin Smacks? No More! Man, what are some other outstanding tracks on the album for y'all? Any that y'all would drop? Any that you would say on this 11-track album, you know what we could do without? The most streamed track on this album is, of course, New Thing because of the meme of the little boy singing karaoke.
You know, he's doing it.
God is doing a new thing. I love rap music is, of course, number two.
I really am trying to remember the one that I thought was inappropriate.
The one that felt sexual to you.
Yeah.
When you first listened to it.
There was one that felt sexual to you?
Well, okay, so.
For me, they all sort of sound sexual to me.
I think I'd have to take a look.
Yeah.
It's not this one.
No More?
Okay, on the song No More, I want you to play it and tell me what you hear for the chorus. Okay.
Okay. You spot a bait that still don't miss. A human warmth, but you cannot have things. No! Okay. So Sterling is going to say she heard No More.
Oh, give it.
It sounds like that to
no
me.
No More Given Head.
Which when I first listened, I said, no. But then honestly, I was like, well, that is their genre. They probably would absolutely Christian hate that.
It would be sort of anti-head.
Or are they pro because we have, like, save yourselves?
We have five main causes.
No. You can't do that one.
Oh, you can't do it.
We're anti-abortion. We're anti-racism. We're pro-new thing. And we're definitely anti-giving head.
Yeah. But it sounds like that. I literally had to pull up. That's when I started pulling up the lyrics.
Oh, my God.
And the thing about it is that it sounds like this is in the middle of it that he's like, no! No more giving in.
I'm glad you guys hear it because
wow.
Now I can.
You can. You can't unhear it once you hear
now,
it.
Oh, now I wish I prefer it.
Yeah. Because I was like, wow. But then once he pulled up the lyrics, I was like, "Nah, this is boring.
That is not a stretch of a of
okay,
good.
A I'm glad that happened. I'm glad that you guys heard that and I found the song.
But Caroline, I mean, thankfully, we've listened to so many different kinds of artists on the show. We have heard artists that go way the other way and are very pro that thing. Caroline, do you remember that song by Stephen Curtis Chapman? Well, it's my
turn now. Oh boy. Sounds like someone else had a turn.
Right. Yeah. I was like,
so that's
it implies he gave first. Yeah.
And that's beautiful that he served his woman first and foremost.
You give her a reminder.
And he's like, oh, honey. Well, it's my
turn now. I hope he does it with the snaps. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that so wholesome sounding too?
So sweet.
It's like, and I'd be like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Where are my manners?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know who has a pro giving head song?
Who?
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah.
He has a song called Redhead and Woman that's all about...
Get down there!
No, it's all about cunnilingus, and he would talk about how much he loves cunnilingus when he would sing it.
Oh, he loves going down.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. He said, listen up, stud, your life's been wasted till you've got down on your knees and tasted a redheaded woman. Bruce. That's how that song goes. Wow. Push come to shove, shove come to push, and I was Moses kneeling for the burning bush of my redheaded woman.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's really, it is about
that. Reading.
Whoa.
And his wife's a redhead, so it's presumably about her.
Yeah. From his marriage album.
But not the current? Not the current wife?
No, I think she's still current.
It's the current wife.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is when he left the wife for.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
This is his Rita Wilson. Tom Hanks left his first wife for Rita Wilson, blah, blah. Anyway, any other songs on the album about giving? No! Wow.
It's a No Nut November, I guess.
It's a No Nut November anthem.
I'm trying to think why he would take such a stand on that.
Or maybe it's like he's addicted to giving head.
Yeah,
and he's like, I can't do it no more. It's too much. Is that Max or Tate singing it? That would change it too. All right, let's rate this album. The way it works, Sterling, is we're going to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Form of a holy toast or holy roast. Holy toast is a thumbs up. That's when we say to this album. Yeah, 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 yeah. Holy roast is a thumbs down. That's when we say,
No, 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 no.
Or we send it to purgatory, which is
the space between.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
I'm going to give it a toast. I think that there's just no
more
Cameron Rose. I think there's just no replacement for this album, this sound, this moment of time, this era of DC talk. There's something very charming about it to me. And I agree with all of their messages.
Wow. Oh, holy shit.
Whoa.
Caroline can't live without it is what
can't
she said.
Can't live without it.
Can't live without it. All right, we'll turn it to Sterling. And again, keep in mind this album sold 200,000 copies when it came out.
Is that a lot?
I think it was a lot back then.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a decent amount. Mm. Decent Christian amount.
Mm. Okay. To play devil's advocate, whatever a girl wants, I'll do a holy roast. Mm. Mostly because I did do that Spotify feature wrong, and now I actually haven't even, I don't know if I've listened to a full album in 2024, like all the way through, and this one,
shit.
Now Spotify will say, you love this. So I'm giving it a roast for that, because I think it's now messed up, kind of, my music. But also, Caroline, you love that abortion song? I didn't know that you love that. Oh, Caroline, she said she loved every single topic. That I didn't love.
Listen.
If you can imagine, there are some messages I disagreed with.
Sterling, authenticity is dangerous and expensive. We loved every song on this album.
There are some genres I actually had an issue with, and you know who you are. So unfortunately, I'm roasting this album today.
Holy
Fair
shit.
Enough. Sorry. Let him have it.
I got to give it a toast like my partner in crime, Caroline. I have to. It is so sweet. It is so cute. I can't get over it. I can't get over the unnecessary amount of power and energy in those hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then those men trying to practice a little bit of self-control with all of their might.
And also,
we didn't talk about this. Maybe this is for a different episode, Caroline. They did release not a feature length, but essentially like a short film, video cassette, mm-hmm. a VHS companion to this album called Rap, Rock, and Soul, which is probably how they define the three of themselves. And you can watch on YouTube. I'm sure we will at some point. It's 33 minutes long. But you can just kind of get a taste for who these boys were in the year 1991 when this came out. I just turned it to a random place. The rap.
Brother right here, the brother to my left, sitting in the middle here. It's smooth. He's vanilla, but he's definitely smooth.
Well, I got the vanilla on the outside, but God has blessed me with that chocolate down deep in my soul.
Yo, to be blunt, rapping a black or white thing, no, it's a thing. It's an urban thing.
Well, I'm a Christian. But sometimes things
they cut to black and white Toby Mac dancing.
It's not a black and white thing. Cut to literal black and white footage.
Definitely the most vital part of DC Talk. You fellas agree
with what? It's pretty much DC Talk. I would agree with that. No, I won't. No, I don't agree with that. I think the rock is the most important part of the group. What do you think?
Cut.
Toby's my boy, man. Master of ceremonies.
Ooh.
Rap is punchy. Rap is to the point. Rap is getting the gospel across.
Oh my gosh, stop. Because we need to talk about that. We need to do like a Heaven Is For Reals. The tension, did you feel that?
Yeah.
This is
competing.
Like day one.
Also, Ooh. That guy has darkness in his eyes, that one man.
A VH1.
Which
in
the one?
Making.
The The Kevin
one
Max.
Who says like it's like a rock group or something.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. His haircut was scary. At first, I was like, these boys are actually really like actually seem really cool, and I was almost going to change my vote based on their. I was literally almost going to change my vote because I was like, wait, these guys seem kind of cool.
You liked when he said, "I have chocolate down here."
They seemed to have like a joie de vivre, but then that guy seemed like he was a killer, like behind his eyes, and he seemed like he was actually having no fun.
Okay, so you kind of hate who is now the most progressive member of this group,
really?
And who has actually grown to be.
What if we're on SNL together and he hears this?
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, with
Michael Pence.
Thank you,
J-Lo. Yeah.
I had no clue.
So
I really had no clue.
You call it darkness.
I'm just uneducated.
Oh my God.
He had a rough time.
Sorry for not bringing that up before. Oh goodness. Well, more treasures await us later
there
on.
There's so
down
much
the road.
To DC Talk. Okay.
There's just so much. It never ends. It never ends with those boys. All right, but let's bring it down now. We're dimming the lights in here. We're lighting the candles. On other shows, Sterling, you might plug yourself or promote your projects, but we're not here to do that. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord as a humble, loving sacrifice. And we'll start, as per usual, with Caroline. And keep in mind, you can lift up your promotional projects. You can promote your projects via lifting them up. I'm just going to keep talking. But you can also lift up something that you've enjoyed in the secular culture. The last great thing that you watched, saw, read, listened to, etc. Caroline, we'll start with you.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. And I'm going to shout out a great show I've been really enjoying, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It's been a great time. Very, very cool. Expensive looking show. They go to such great locations. And shout out to Julia
Jeff
Seals.
Bezos.
Oh yeah. Well, first Jeff. Then Julia.
You heard. It's Julia Bezos now.
Yeah, that'd be great. Who wrote on that show? Guest on the pod and neighbor to some.
Oh, who knew? Actually, yeah. I didn't know she wrote on that.
Uh-huh. You're doxing her.
Yeah.
I didn't know she wrote on that.
Yeah. Wow. It's a good time. I really enjoy it.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Maya Erskine, who one time I saw her and her husband and daughter in the wild, and her daughter was cute as fuck. Or might have been son. Either way, their baby was cute as hell.
I want to see that baby.
Yeah.
I bet she doesn't post the baby.
I don't think so. And we turn to Sterling.
I'm lifting up.
What part of this is unclear? You're lifting up, promoting, you're lifting up in my words.
I thought there was a little phrase for the first one.
Oh, lift up.
Oh, they're both lifting.
You lift them all up.
I thought she said two different things. No. Okay, I'm lifting up for myself, my podcast, Bad Behavior.
Bad Behavior.
It comes out weekly on Wednesdays. We just started a new season.
And I've only been on it once. Isn't that interesting?
Well, no one's been on it twice, Kevin.
Is that true?
It's true.
Oh.
It's very funny, and come check us out. But the thing I want to lift up in culture right now is something I know everyone else is lifting up, but it is The Traitors on Peacock, season 2.
I've heard.
Boy, am I loving The Traitors.
I've heard.
It is so funny. It is so camp. It's in Scotland in a castle. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
It's basically the game Mafia, but with reality TV show stars. And Alan Cumming is a genius host and is amazing. Check it out.
Wow. Traitors. I've only experienced that through memes, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, check it out.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up. Oh, I think I already lifted that up. Never mind. I'll lift up something else. I'll lift up. Wait, have I lifted up Maestro Caroline?
Now?
He needs it.
Go ahead. Yeah. Send all your support, all your good vibes.
I'm lifting up Maestro. No. You know what? I'll lift up What's Up, Doc, because I just watched that again for the first time in years. I think it's one of the best movies ever made. 10 out of 10 masterpiece. LOL. LMAO, too.
Wow.
And at one point, Raffle.
Damn.
For real.
Mm. For real.
Which was really sticky.
Yeah.
This is 1972 screwball classic starring Barbara Streisand, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. You probably just rent it somewhere. It was on Criterion Channel for a little bit, but go rent it somewhere. It's one of the funniest movies, one of the greatest movies ever made. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere, patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. And you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you like to. We appreciate it so much. Sterling, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Once again,
yay.
For making the print to your popper. Of the first episode. Actually, no, I mean, your episode the first time was great.
It wasn't good. I know.
But by comparison,
new thing.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're doing a new thing on this show. And there's nothing left to say except for, okay, I love you, Emma.
Amen. Amen.
Now watch this drive. And I think it's only right that we go out on. Made a move to settle the score. Threw out a bait that's. Something that we should all remember in the weeks to come. Something Michael Douglas said to himself after he got throat cancer, allegedly.
Oh my God.
Too much.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
roll with the spark. An old spring gotta deal with a heart full of sin. All guilty at birth. Fight it like a habit for all your work. Until you find that you cannot stand.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.